This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. Hey there, what's going on? Welcome to episode 665, Authentic Persuasion Show. This episode, let's talk about authenticity in remote sales. Now, let me define remote sales, and then we'll dive into the full topic here. So remote sales, now in this era, as we approach the end of 2023, a lot of people think work from home, I'm remote, and then I'm doing sales from my living room, from my bedroom, from a remote office, whatever that looks like. And yes, that is true. And that's what people think, like, I'm working remote today, and that's, I'm not in an office. Now, what's interesting is that remote sales means I'm not in front of you, my potential customers. So we have essentially in-person sales, and then we have non-in-person and remote and virtual sales environments, okay? So if you think about anyone who sells over the phone, that is a remote sale. That's a virtual sale, not virtual in a video sense, like people default to thinking that now, but that is a non-in-person remote sale, all right? So if you're selling in-person at a trade show, at a retail, at a store, at a booth, flying to meet your potential clients and then meeting with them in their office or a conference room or a hotel lobby, we've got that in-person bucket, and then we've got everything else, right? So remote sales is phone, video, email, anything where you're not actually looking at the person and they can't see you. That's what we're talking about, all right? Here's the biggest thing, and this is where this can be so challenging for people even before this current era, and then now it's so widespread that still people struggle with it. Most of our communication style and what we get from other people when we're communicating with them is coming from nonverbal cues. So think about body language, think about facial expressions, think about eye movement and looking at someone in the eyes and understanding or having a sense of what they're feeling or thinking. Think about all of those cues that we get as humans in person. And think about how valuable that is in communication, in relationship building, in general, in life. And then also think about it in sales, where sales inherently is an act where you need or want something. I potentially have that thing that you need or want, and then I'm going to try to sell it to you. You're going to try to buy it from me. And that's where the game begins. And sometimes that game involves, I'm going to try to sell it to you for as much as possible. You're going to try to pay as little as possible. And then we go back and forth. Or you don't know what you're doing as a buyer, and I'm going to try to charge you as much as I can, and then hope you don't notice so that I can make as much money as possible, right? Like, there's a phrase I heard very early on in sales that was said a few times behind the scenes was find them, fleece them, and forget them, right? Like, find somebody, fleece them for as much money as possible, and then forget them and move on to somebody else, which again is a terrible phrase and a terrible sentiment, but also I think happens a lot whether people are going to admit it or not. That's what people think. Either when they get into sales, they think that's their role, or that's what people have experienced as a customer and feel like that's what all salespeople are thinking. And that's where the battle begins. That's where the difficulty is. That's where the trust is so hard to earn because people have their guards up. People have their walls up. Think about a time when you walked into a store of any kind of store, where there's like significant value in the things in the store, right? It's not just like a grocery store or a convenience store. And think about when somebody says, hey, is there anything I can help you with? Is there something you're looking for? And you say, no, thanks. I'm just looking. Now, it could be that you don't actually know what you're looking for and you just want to walk around. It could be, which is what happens with me, and I know others because I've talked about this a lot with people, is that you just don't want the pressure. I don't want the pressure of some salesperson who thinks they're going to try to sell me something. I want to get informed first, right? Like if I'm at a cell phone store, let me go look at the cell phones and get an idea of what I want before I talk to you, because otherwise I'm worried that you're just going to sell me the most expensive thing you can. And I don't want that, right? Like that's not what I want. I want to be able to have some kind of idea of what I'm looking for versus what you might want to sell me. All right. Now, what's interesting for me is the opposite. When I go into a cell phone store, I immediately look for somebody because I know that, you know, I'm going to buy what I want. And you know, I want some input, which is I'll go in and find somebody and say, here's what I'm doing. Here's what I need. Here's where I'm at. What do you recommend? Right? Because I actually want their guidance, which is what I talk a lot about on the podcast here and in my trainings. And so going back to this, when we have face-to-face, there's so much that we get from somebody in person. Again, facial expressions, body language. I mean, you know, if you've done sales in person where you say something and they respond negatively, and then you know that they responded negatively, and that changes what you're going to do next because you've got to make sure they're okay to move forward. The problem over the phone is that you don't have that cue. Right? You say something over the phone, you can't see their facial expression, which means you don't know that they just reacted negatively and that they're upset or concerned about something. And then you just keep moving forward, but you literally do not even realize they're not paying attention. They're not listening to you because they are stuck on the thing that you just said that triggered them in some way. Right? Like you don't know. And of course, the opposite happens as well, which is if you're selling face to face and you say something and someone gets excited and they're like, you can tell like that hit the right nerve, right? Like that was a positive thing. Whatever you said and whatever you did, like totally worked. And now you can see their face light up and their body language change. And you're like, all right, let's just keep moving forward, right? Like let's skip some steps because we don't need to try as hard because this is obviously the right thing for you at the right time. Let's go forward. You don't have that on the phone either, right? There's times where you can say something that was perfectly perfect and it struck the right nerve for that potential customer over the phone. And because you can't see them, all you can do is base your you know, path and what you do next based on what they say, and you don't know, and you might miss the fact that they are so ready to go. In fact, I hear salespeople over the phone who miss it when somebody acknowledges that they're ready to go forward, right? Like they give those buying signals and the salesperson still doesn't pick up on it over the phone, and that's a totally different topic. But the key is that there's so much that we lose by doing it over the phone. Virtual with video obviously helps bridge a little bit of that gap because you can see facial expressions, you can see some body language, and it does help, but it's still difficult. It's still taking away a lot of the things that can make you successful in in-person sales. And this is one of the things where, you know, it might not sound nice, but it's how I feel, where people who sell in person, if they think they're amazing and they're really great at sales, it really doesn't impress me at all, because if you can't sell in person, then you just suck like at understanding humans and dealing with people, right? Like if I think it's like 80, 90% of our communication is nonverbal and you can't sell to somebody in person with all of those unspoken cues, like please go do something else, right? And if you are good at selling in person, that doesn't mean a lot to me because you have all those cues and you have all that ability in person and you can read their body language. And there's people who teach body language and facial expression, like studying and reading so that you can dive into it. It's like, yeah, you have all those cues. It's like, come on, that's like an open book test. If you're not good at open book tests, like whatever. And if you are good at open book tests, that doesn't impress me because it's an open book test. Like, where's the skill in that? Like, there's no skill because you know how to find answers quick. That doesn't impress me. And so when you do it over the phone, though, that's a different game. And I'll tell you that for me, I was raised in person sales. When I started the mortgage business, my boss was like, all right, don't do anything over the phone. As soon as somebody calls, book an appointment, go to them, have them come into the office in the conference room, but don't do anything over the phone. Don't try to collect information. Don't try to sell them. Don't try to do anything over the phone at first. Just do it in person, right? And I didn't realize at the time that that was about building trust. It's about building the relationship. It was about getting to know them, them getting to know me and liking me, and then them feeling comfortable with the process. And then we could go remote, right? Then we could do it over the phone at the time and, you know, do the rest of the transaction over the phone, except for certain meetings that we'd want to do in person. And what was challenging for me is I did that for several years, like face-to-face and in-person stuff, and then worked for a company that was all over the phone. So you didn't have that in-person crutch, right? You didn't have all the in-person cues. And at first I was like, this is not possible. It is not possible to sell someone over the phone because you have to get all of these things from them on the nonverbal side. And then what I realized was if you listen closely in a phone call, and this goes back to what I talked about in the episode 660 about challenging markets and authenticity, is if you use active listening and you are hyper aware and you listen closely, people will still give you those cues in their silence too, right? Like where they pause, where they hesitate, the things that they say, you can pick up on a big chunk of the things that you're missing in the remote environment, okay? Here's the biggest key though, right? And that's what I found out. I realized, wait, you can do amazing things over the phone. Like you don't have to do it in person and then help people. But here's the key, right? So the title of this episode is Authenticity in Remote Sales. And so let's talk about this, right? Not just the difficulty of remote sales, but authenticity. And the big key is that people still crave something from you as a human that they're talking to that's a salesperson. Again, I talked early on, people could have a high level of distrust for salespeople. Their guard is up. They're not going to trust you. If they can't see you, they're not going to trust you even more, right? They're going to be even more worried about you, like thinking, especially the guys listening to this, right? They're going to just think or assume you're just like a bad experience they had before, the telemarketer that called yesterday, or they're going to think you're boiler room Wolf of Wall Street type of person who's just calling to sell them stuff, right? The women listening to this, you have an advantage over the men, and I say this all the time, in the fact that there aren't movies about terrible sales women ripping people off, right? There's only movies about men ripping people off. And so with the sales women out there calling, if you're talking to somebody, the trust level is going to be a little higher. The barriers and the fear and the wall is going to be lower out of the gate because they're just not expecting you to come after them to take advantage of them, right? Now, of course, there are some terrible saleswomen out there, just like there's terrible salesmen doing those kind of things, but customers business to consumer are not expecting that. They're not thinking about it. If a woman is calling them, they're not having that same guard up at the same level, typically, like from what I've seen. So when you're talking to someone over the phone, men and women, back to this, is it's all about authenticity, right? That's why I'm all about authentic persuasion. Authentic persuasion was born and tested and perfected in a telephone sales environment, not face-to-face, not video, is in the phone era, the phone days, in phone sales, in phone call centers and sales rooms, wherever, that's where it came from. And it's all about having a process. It's about the authentic persuasion pathway. It's about building rapport. And then it's about building rapport and doing discovery with empathy, like I talked about in episode 660, right? When you're asking questions and you actually care. When you combine those two things together, what's amazing is people will trust you. It will build trust. You don't ask for trust. You don't tell people that they can trust you. They don't care what you say. They don't care how amazing you are at first. At some point, they want to hear that, but at first, they don't. They just want to know that you care about them. Right? Teddy Roosevelt has a quote, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. If there's one thing you take from this episode, is that quote. Apply that to your sales process, especially for the first 2-3 parts of your sales process in your conversations, right? Again, if you want more information, reach out to me. You know, the information's at the end of this podcast. You can go to my website. I have videos on YouTube about it, about the authentic persuasion pathway. It's what I train a lot of salespeople and teams on. I also have my online course called Selling with Authentic Persuasion, which dives into the basics of it, the fundamentals of that, and then goes into detail about it and the 5 steps in the authentic persuasion pathway. But here's the key. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You want to build trust. You can't ask for it. You can't say, hi, this is Jason. I'm amazing. This is great. I do this. I have these clients. Here's all my logos. Here's the people who have hired me. I'm great. Somebody's going to be like, yeah, that's great, but why should I care? It's obvious that you don't care about me, so why should I care about you? And so you've got to flip the script. You've got to flip the process. If you want to be authentic and leverage and use to a really high level, authentic persuasion in remote sales, you have to make it about the other person at first, right? Because you have to overcome the barriers because you do not have in-person access to build rapport and trust quickly and easily and stronger. The only way to do that is to build rapport and create empathy, which will lead to trust. It is to use authentic persuasion, and it is to be authentic in all of your communication as well, right? Not just the phone calls, which is what we're talking about, not just the video meetings, which is what a lot of people default to, in the voicemails that you leave, in the emails that you send, in the direct messages you send. It's to do that same thing, is to be that same authentic persuader in all areas, all the time, making sure that your goal is to help other people realize that you care about them, and that's where you're coming from, right? Your intention is to care about them, find out how you can help them, what they need or want, and then see if there's an intersection with what you have to offer. It's to fundamentally leave people better than you found them. And when you do that, whether it's over the phone, it's on video, it's via email, leading up to the phone calls and the video, or even in person, then what happens is you're playing a completely different game, and then people will see you as a valued sales professional. They will listen to you once you help them realize why you're there, what you're doing for them, and how you can help them out.